Well, as you know, it's Easter Sunday, and in Christian churches all around the world, except for the Greeks and the Coptics, and their message will come a few weeks later, the message appears to be no different. And we typically hear the traditional method, which is that Jesus died for our sins, was crucified, ascended, and now we can do all things through Jesus as Lord and Savior. In divine science, we bring that into a much more experiential view, and we focus on practicing the presence in our daily lives, and we address it and apply it to our daily strives and difficulties. Now, I remember vividly when my children were born. We were in Southern Baptist Hospital on Napoleon Avenue in the city of New Orleans. Seems like it was yesterday, but it was quite some time ago. And what I remember thinking most about during that experience of birth, and I thought about it as we were getting in the elevator, getting ready to come home, was that that hospital was a place and time special for us, as it was a birth of our babies. And we saw them filled with promise and hope. And I saw myself and my wife as a young family full of promise and hope, anticipating all the life events that were ahead of us. And it was, in fact, a sweet time. And then at that very instant, another thought occurred to me. And I began to think that many people, most, in fact, in that hospital, were not there for the birth of a baby. No, they were there because they were sick, many times critically ill. There were cancer patients, those with terminal illnesses. For some, departure from the hospital would be to the funeral home, not to a home anticipating joy and new life. That mix between death and life in that very instant, that plays out for each of us in our consciousness, our human consciousness, fully on display at Easter. For we have just had a death and a resurrection. All not only within the span of a very short time, but within the very same being, that of Jesus. And it poses the question for me, can one die and continue to live at the same time? Traditional churches say you can if you are Jesus, Son, literal Son of God, and they continue if we find favor with Jesus or God, then perhaps we too can have that same miracle. But you know, it doesn't seem to play out that way in ordinary circumstances. But I posit that that is because we are looking at it wrongly. We are looking at it in the wrong place. We cannot look at finite conditions of a body and expect to see the infinite. Rather, keep your mind on high, on the infinite, and look there for principle. Look to the cause, not the effect. Look not to the outcome of things. And so Easter helps us reconcile one of our fundamental human problems, which is that we can be alive throughout in our infinite substance, notwithstanding the appearance of the death in the particularized form that we currently inhabit. The second human experience that Easter helps us address is the so-called hero's journey. We all love a hero, don't we? In our human conception, formed through millennia of storytelling, the hero is someone born with a special gift, born with a mission already in mind, and he or she is born, usually in humble means, disguised by his or her own ordinariness. And along the way, there are guides, mentors, trials, battles, drills. Ultimately, the hero goes off, saves the day, and comes back as the conqueror, the victor. And then the legends are created about how the hero came in and saved us, creating an atmosphere of salvation. And then all the children look up to that hero and want to be like that hero, and constantly go through their lives trying to, but yet failing, to measure up to the hero. Easter helps us reconcile that issue as well. Easter really resolves two fundamental problems. How can we resolve the death-life conundrum? And secondly, how can we be heroes as Jesus would have wanted us to be? How can we conquer or transcend death the way Jesus did? And this provides us with real, genuine, and authentic hope. It gives life. It breathes life anew into our station, no matter where we are. And the linchpin, if you will, of our ability to turn from a life of dying, death, and decay to the point of hope for the future of things is the scene on Easter Sunday morning and the experience of the living Christ long after the death of Jesus. I find comfort in the empty tomb, finding that he is appearing to the 12 in a form where at first they cannot recognize him, and then they do. That he appears to Thomas with the wound still in his side. That he appears on the shore telling the disciples where to fish and prepares the meal. That he appears on the road to Emmaus. That he likewise appears to Paul on the road to Damascus. See, the early peoples are saying, we saw him die, and yet he lives. He is risen. There is the lesson that we are to extract from the early writings and the Gospels, that we are heroes, conquerors, and the enemy is not just death, but all mortal circumstances in which we find ourselves, which we have heretofore chalked up to so-called reality, our lot in life, or them's the breaks. And that there's nothing we can do but eke out a small living, perhaps get a pension, and survive until we die, and hope for a better afterlife, or a life reincarnated. But what we learn from the Easter message is that that is just not so. The things you see me do, you can do too, and even greater things. Let's take that literally. Examine how we live, and how we can change to become those who live life everlasting with Christ and him crucified. Resurrection is discussed in divine science, in its principle and practice. It's in the chapter that we would cover in our basic class entitled Unfoldment. Ms. Brooks and Ms. Kramer state, as individuals journeying through life, from a purely natural and objective vision of life to Christ consciousness, or purely spiritual viewpoint, we seem for a long time to be deadened by the material sense of things. That is, we live mainly at the level of physical sensation. Man begins his path of individual experience and unfoldment in the material order of life, where self-preservation comes first. Sooner or later, the intuitive urge for growth arouses the soul of man to be aware of a need for something higher than his present material concept. Eventually, the Christ, the higher than the human or the natural, begins to dawn, and a spiritual order is perceived, a rebirth occurs. A new set of values comes to consciousness. As man is able to silence the personal and material senses, there comes the opportunity for him to acknowledge the spiritual aspect of his nature as it comes to conscious level and makes itself known as an active presence within every soul. Did you catch that? silence the personal and material senses. Our founders continue, it is scientifically true to teach that the infinite expresses what it is, and neither does nor can express that which is not true. That there are no qualities inherent in man except God qualities, no attributes in man's nature that are not attributable to God. The way we grow and release ourselves from limited experiences is by changing our thoughts. Each unfoldment of thought is itself a resurrection. We ascend to realize our perfect self, the Christ. You see, change your thought patterns. Come to the realization that you share inherencies with God. That is your mission. Each new thought, you're dying to your former self, and you are ascending to a new view. Thus, human life is nothing more than us on the spiritual path, continuously changing our thoughts, rising up to the point where then we become one with Christ consciousness. And two, we do this with each other, for we do not leave each other behind. According to Joel Goldsmith, resurrection is our goal. That's the goal of the spiritual path. And the way to get there is to see the Christ seated behind the eyes of every individual, constituting the soul of every individual. Now, this can and does work, even in mundane circumstances. I did it this week. When you're having difficulty with a coworker or a client, just realize, hey, you're Christ disguised as that person, trying to give me trouble. I'm on to you. And I will pray that Christ comes through more for you. And so I will care for you and love you in your current situation, no matter how much of a hard time you're giving me. I will not argue with you and presume, and to preserve my own ego in the situation, I'll let that go. And I'll work for you, work for the problem with you, until you too can see the Christ is the ground of your being. All kinds of difficulties can be released when you adopt that attitude. According to Joel Goldsmith, we are to look through the physical appearances of men and women to the eye that sits back of their eyes, looking out at you, looking through their claims of sin, disease, lack, limitation, religion. I mean, the average person will give you a whole run-of-the-mill of problems, and we could see it right at the start of our service, couldn't we? And in doing so, we have the actual experience of witnessing the resurrection by looking at them differently. For you will experience the destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up experience. You will see all manner of change and ascension if you go about looking for the Christ within everyone, including and especially including ourselves. We will then experience the feeling associated with the statement, He is risen. And so with some help from our metaphysical masters, and the books in this library and available in this bookstore, and other teachings and thoughts, we can examine the life and teachings of Jesus in a new lens. And we can come to some glorious solutions for what seems to be life's persistent problems. That is, the inability to manage our own lives with the specter of death as a concept of non-existence. It's one thing, and it would be one thing, for Jesus to provide the teachings with his words alone. But it is a whole other thing to actually see it in action, to see the risen Christ after the crucifixion, in seeming burial in the rich man's tomb. In other words, just giving verbal lessons or lip service is not enough. He demonstrated it through his actions. His actions were the giving of himself, his whole self, his whole human life. For what level of hypocrisy would it have been for him to have sashayed away from Pilate and the trial? What lesson would there have been with us if he gave lip service to what we were supposed to do, but did not act likewise? See, Jesus demonstrated control and master over effect, over conditions, simply by placing his thoughts not on himself, on his own human care and life, but on the kingdom of God. In other words, spiritual causes, not material effects. Give your thought to God and the omnipresence of God, which operates always here, there, and everywhere. And that omnipresence of God will operate and create circumstances to which you give thought, feelings, and action. But it has to be with thoughts of God first, not on what you want individually, materially. Focus on God. What from God would make you happy? Focus on what does God want for you as God's will. For if you try to improve your material circumstances by going directly at the current condition, you will find you are chasing a ghost. Current conditions exist as an aftermath from prior thoughts and creative activity that had already taken place. That's the meaning of let the dead bury their dead. If you want to change, change your thoughts. Because of the inherent divine nature of your being, if you give it the appropriate thought, you will see the creation come into being, and it will be directly in line with your thinking process. Of course, you have to be thinking about God-like things. If you're thinking in human terms, you'll probably just get more human frustration. So that's really the first lesson that Jesus helps us with this Easter message, because we saw on display a man who could demonstrate supremacy over all conditions. But I tell you, we can also be satisfied to know that we too can be heroes like Jesus on the hero journey. Jesus is a strange sort of hero. He was actually foretold of being this type of hero right out of the words contained in what I called earlier 2nd Isaiah. For in discussing this new type of hero, this hero does not brandish swords and weaponry. He does not conquer through might, but rather he allows himself to face the very enemies, not trying to resist them, but bringing forth truth. This comes right out of Isaiah. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. Allowing himself to be pierced for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities, like a lamb led to the slaughter, silent, he opened not his mouth. We did not see Jesus trying to save his human life. To the contrary, he looked at Pilate and said, "Thou should have no power over me unless it comes from God above." And of course, the corollary to that is if it comes from God above, it is necessarily good and therefore should not be resisted in the first place. So our second lesson from Easter is not only can we demonstrate control over outer conditions by going within, we can also stand tall in our reasoning and not sell out, and still live and not be killed. The worst thing that could happen is that the world thinks it can kill us and that we can succumb to death. And now we know that life on a spiritual basis in the spiritual plane never dies, cannot be killed. The only thing threatened upon us is the change in form, which we're going to experience anyway, sooner or later. And it is all that it is. It's merely a change in form. We cannot be killed. We cannot die. We are like the blossoms on the cherry blossom trees. We bloom in our season and return with each cycle of life. And each cherry blossom retains its attributes in the change in cycle from a form appearing to be dead to a form appearing to be alive. And likewise, we retain our attributes, our inherencies of God. That is our consciousness. It is our consciousness that we retain, our awareness, that fundamental attribute, blooms in a season right along with us, even though our form may change. Our consciousness continues on the path. This is the meaning of living on a spiritual path. That this is possible is the lesson from Jesus, who ascended to the Christ consciousness and returned and continues to return and be experienced. And as he said, for us, we can do likewise, and we can even do greater things. We are heroes like Jesus. He taught by his actions to face life by continually abiding in the Word, in the Father, not trying to resist or fight conditions, but rather to demonstrate over them in the here and now. For the kingdom is at hand. He taught that we need not fear death, as that is not the end of our existence, merely the form that we have at the time. And he proved it. He didn't just say it. And so we need not fear death. We need not be sad in the hospital for those who are dying while we are there bringing home our child who has just been born. Jesus showed us how to be heroes and conquer the fear of death as nothing other than life cycle of forms to which we will drop and pick up as our consciousness dictates as it runs the spiritual path. And he put it in terms that are so simple. Destroy this temple, this body, and I will build it back up. And when he says I, he means the I am, the power of the living God, the presence, the I am that was before Abraham. Destroy this form of me, but you cannot reach my consciousness that will simply create a new form and move on. In the spiritual realm, which is the only reality, really, we can conquer conditions and death. We are left with nothing to fear, nothing to worry about. And what will we do with our newfound freedom? Why, we will live, love, and continue to behold the wonderful workings of God. Should we take a few moments now for a meditation? Let's sit in the silence for a bit and try to make this lesson that we've just heard practical. Let's close our eyes, take in a deep cleansing breath, and slowly let it out. In our thoughts, I thought we would meditate on a few words from the Bhagavad Gita, translated and interpreted by Sir Edwin Arnold. Never the spirit was born. The spirit shall cease to be, never. Never was time, it was not. End and beginning are dreams. Birthless and deathless and changeless remains the spirit forever. Death hath not touched it at all, dead though the house of it seems. Who knows it, exhaustless, self-sustained, immortal, indestructible? Shall such say, I have killed a man or caused to kill? Nay, but as when one layeth his worn-out robes away, and taking new ones saith, these will I wear today. So putteth by the spirit lightly its garb of flesh, and pass to inherit a residence afresh. We are the living Christ. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he cause his light to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Turn within and acknowledge him, so that he may lift your consciousness and give you his peace. Amen.
Praise God in whom all being is. Praise him for word and form are his. Praise him, all ye his truth proclaim. Sing joyful praise unto
in peace. Life is consciousness, and resurrection proves it remains forever. Have a blessed week.